Live from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com, this is The Press Box.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to The Press Box on GoMileHigh.com. We're a part of the Be On Air Network. I'm your host, Jacob. Ryan, T, Squirrel.
Yo.
How we doing?
Doing good, man.
Good. How you doing today, Mr. Roth?
Doing great. Josh Stover running the boards. Thank you, sir.
Of course.
So, we are... What a great week. The Masters is on. We got NFL still rolling. And we're happy.
College football is in full swing.
Yep. Yeah, full swing now.
It's not snowing right now, so that always makes
me
happy.
It will be on Monday.
But it's not right now, which is the main point. The gods looked down upon us and held the rain off the Masters this morning. We only got a short little two-hour delay. We're looking good. This is going to be a good sports weekend.
Tiger's not doing good.
Whatever. He's at 4 under.
he was a little frustrated this morning. I watched him and then turned it around, came out, and he's doing, like you said, he's doing pretty good.
No bogeys on this round.
No,
right?
Nope, no bogeys.
Although it is weird seeing the Masters in this late normally.
It is very weird.
That's 2020 for you, I guess.
The brown colors that are mixed in there. Man, it's just beautiful to look at.
Yes.
What a great.
Very aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, yeah. So, first segment here, we are going to be talking a little Denver Bronco football. They have the Las Vegas Raiders this weekend. And the Raiders are favored 4.5 points. What do you think? Is that fair?
The way they're playing right now, yeah, that's a complete perfect betting line for the Broncos. They're struggling on all aspects of the game. It's not just the offense. It's not just the defense. It's all three. When you're down going into a third quarter 2 weeks in a row now, down by 21, they got to figure something out.
Absolutely. Do we think the Broncos can pull a little bit of an upset here this weekend, or do you like him to cover at the very least?
I'm going to say I can see an upset. We've been able to keep Derek Carr and the Raiders in check the last couple of years. I think we can maybe get in their heads a little bit because I think this might be a pushover game and it might be a look-ahead game.
I was just going to say this has all the makings for a trap game for Las Vegas where you don't want to overlook your 3-5 Denver Broncos opponents this week because they are still feisty. They've shown that they can, you know, they have a little fight in them. It's just not what all the Broncos fans want to see, but I don't think you count them out. I think they cover that, honestly.
Yeah, let's hear what Drew Locke thinks about this the last couple of weeks here.
You know, there's a lot that when we went back and watched, it's same old song and dance. You know, there's a couple plays there that could have kept us on the field. You know, we found ourselves in long third downs. They're dropping 8 on those long third downs, forcing us to check it down, getting us off the field. You know, they just came at us early, and you know, we didn't make those little plays that they were making. You know, there's stuff that we've talked about, but we'll keep that in the quarterback.
So there's Drew Locke. Thank you, Broncos.com, for that quote. He says all the right things. He does. And it's kind of what you want in a quarterback. He has the moxie, but he knows when to kind of turn it down when they're not winning. Mm-hmm. I think that this Las Vegas Raiders team, they're not contenders for the Super Bowl, but they're definitely playoff contenders, and I don't think the Broncos are. I think Josh Jacobs runs all over this defense. I mean, their defensive line is still just in shambles. So I think it's look for Jacobs to get well over 100 yards this weekend. That Broncos defense is just not going to be able to hold them down. And Derek Carr has shown himself to be serviceable enough to where you have to respect the pass.
Yeah, he can make plays. There's no doubt in that. And then don't forget, you know, I think this Darren Waller versus the Denver secondary is going to be a good matchup for the Raiders.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of been the Broncos' bugaboo for, I don't know, the last 5 years or so where they just can't stop tight ends. Mm-hmm. And Darren Waller is, well, very under the radar, one of the best tight ends. I'd put him in top 5 tight ends in the league right now.
And he's at the top of his game at the moment. You know, he's doing good. He's catching everything. He is 45% of that offense, you know, other than Josh. It's Josh Jacobs, Nelson Aguilar, or, you know, Darren Waller. I mean, those guys are the playmakers. They're getting the ball. And it seems like Derek Carr's starting to hit a stride, getting on. I think, honestly, I think the Raiders are the most improved team that nobody thought was going to be where they're at today in this league at the moment.
Oh, and they're the only team to beat the Chiefs right now. Yeah. And, I mean, they definitely dominated the Chiefs.
Yeah, no, handily, 41-20, something like that.
Yep.
I agree with you where you said, you know, without Shelby Harris again and not having a decent run-stopping defensive
line. Mike Purcell's out.
You know, it hurts. I mean, yeah, we've had a lot of injuries on. Jarrell Casey. The Broncos have had a lot of injuries on defense, but like every other team says, next man up. These guys next need to come up and play.
There's a depth chart for a reason.
Yeah. I was just going to say one quick little thing that I'm looking into this week. You know, we have Jerry Jeudy versus Henry Ruggs and that whole debacle of who they wanted to pick.
Ruggs.
Who do you think has the better week between
the
two?
I'll take Ruggs all day, man.
I'm gonna take Jeudy. I think with Jeudy that 125-yard
Ruggs has been able to stay healthy. He's been able to keep the ball in his hands. He doesn't drop much, if you notice. Jeudy, first few games, was dropping everything. Jeudy finally had his breakout game. Was it? Last week,
yeah, 135 yards,
a touchdown, nine catches. Nice. He looked nice, but Ruggs has been doing it already. Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be a lot of garbage time for this Broncos offense. I think they're going to be throwing the ball all over the place. So I think Jeudy has the better game, but the Raiders still win.
Yeah.
What type of hope should Broncos have for this team? Maybe squeaking in there for the eighth spot. Is there any hope left?
Just squeaking for a playoff spot?
Yeah.
They're going to have to play much better between now and it's terrible we lost our bye week.
I'm going to start.
It's terrible as long we're playing. But if they can play smart and not get behind by 21, I think they can maybe squeak it
out. I'm going to tell you this. They ain't going to get there under 500. So
No.
They're going to have to get to 500 and get above that, honestly. I mean, what do we think? 8-8 is going to get the playoffs this year?
You know, yeah.
9-7 was making it last year. So and with an extra
adding
person,
another spot, I think 8-8 is about the target that you want to shoot for. We'll
have one 5-10 team, you know, in there
from the NFC East.
Yeah, that'll be the NFC East.
Oh man, what a horrible.
Stephen A. said the winner of that division won't have 6 wins.
I mean, I don't think
are they even. Get 4 wins? Is there anybody even near 4 wins with that division?
Well, Philly's got 2, right? Dallas has 2. The Giants have 2.
And so does, I think.
There's a whole first place tie for the division.
Don't count out Washington.
Ugly.
Don't count out the football team. That's going to be nuts, dude. It's just like, it's to the point where I didn't think Miami would be doing what they're doing right now. Challenging for first place in the AFCs. Like, wow.
Well, here's my question is, what do you think of completely going from your starting quarterback and starting a rookie where he's now 2-0.
We said it 2 weeks ago. We were all against it, but apparently Brian Flores knows something that we don't, and he saw something that we didn't. And
so is he the franchise quarterback out of Miami?
He's the face of that franchise now.
Patrick is definitely.
Oh, come on. That beard, bro. It's the beard. Baby. It's the beard, man.
T-Web has a little Fitzpatrick beard.
A small one.
Harvard, you know. Maybe that has some play with
that's him. Where you two differ. You know?
I ain't going to Harvard. I wish.
He went to community college down the street, you know.
Don't they call Colorado Media School the Harvard of the West?
Something
like that.
What?
Stanford of the Middle
West. Stanford of the Middle West.
Let's move into this Thursday night football game tonight. We have the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be the blue taking on the blue. A couple of Colts
it's
fans.
Baby blue. They have baby blue and a dark blue. Okay, they don't even have a real blue.
What do you think happens tonight, Squirrel?
What was my pick last show? I think I went 27-24. Colts win it off of Rodrigo.
No. It's pretty much a pick 'em. Colts -1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Money line 118 to Titans +100. Over under is 48.5. I like the Colts. I've liked the Colts kind of all year. It's kind of
makes one of us.
Yeah, it's kind of hurt my pocketbook here and there. But I just don't understand how this offensive line can not hold up, especially with the Titans' horrible pass rush. We are going to get more into Thursday Night Football talk and break down all of the other NFL lines coming up. You are listening to The Press Box on GoMileHigh.com.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama. His laminescence.
Really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to the Press Box on Go Mile High, and we are back talking NFL betting lines. I'm Jacob. We got Squirrel. We got D. Weber. We got Ryan. We got Josh on the board. So we ended last segment talking about the Thursday night game. Let's kind of wrap that up. Final predictions. If you've got to take one of these over-unders or Colts or Titans minus one, plus one, what are you taking, Ryan?
You know, it, like you said, it's going to be a toss-up game. I'm going Chargers.
Whoa. That's a completely different game than the one.
Oh, wait. Sorry. So let me explain super quick. That is hilarious. I am dyslexic, and my eyes was looking at this.
The crazy thing was he was like, whoa. That is a totally different game.
Great, my brain turned off. For a second, so
hey, Ryan, you know, if you pull up ESPN, you know, they got them all in a line there.
Well, and that's what I was looking at, but
you are not looking at ESPN, dude.
Colts Titans,
Chargers,
Buccaneers. Oh, yeah. Colts Titans. I'll go Titans tonight. I really like Derrick Henry, especially midseason. This back half of the season, I think they're going to rely a lot on Derrick Henry, and I think he's going to be a beast tonight.
T,
I'm going to pull it. Kind of a hot take. I'm going to say Indianapolis.
How's that a hot take?
It's not a hot take at all.
It's pretty much a pass.
It's minus one.
Yeah.
They might win by five.
A hot take is if it was minus 14 and they tear it up. Like, that's a hot take.
No, I take
Squirrel,
Indianapolis.
Squirrel, I can guess what you're going to take.
27-24. I've said it 9, 10, 11, 12 times now. Rodrigo Blankenship is going to kick the winner for us. And at 27-24... That's an over. Am I wrong, Josh? At 48.5, that's an over.
That would be.
So I'm going to take. You know what? I was with Josh on last show, and I didn't think they would hit the over at 48.5, but now looking at my prediction, I'm going to have to take the over.
Yeah, I like the Colts here, too. I think Tennessee's biggest problem right now is they can't get to the passer. And
I don't think their defense is as good as it was.
No, I don't.
They're starting
to
let in a lot. Yep. A lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns.
Yep. I think we see Rivers kind of be able to sit back there and make some throws, and I think we see
he throws a pick today.
Jonathan. He always does. Yeah. But I think Jonathan Taylor runs for a fair amount of yards on the ground.
He's seven touchdowns and seven picks. Or no, 10 touchdowns and seven picks right now. Phillip Rivers is. With just over 2,000 yards.
Does he have more kids or touchdown passes on the
year? Kids.
Okay.
He's a good Catholic boy.
Dude, I love. Like, I never thought you could cuss somebody out without saying a cuss word.
Oh, yeah,
it's great, dude. Have you ever listened to him, mm-hmm. like, say whatever the heck it is he says?
Oh, yeah.
He's got 10 kids that he's got to be the you know,
yeah,
the
he's got 10 kids
for.
He can't cuss at, so he's calling on all kinds of stuff. You like that? It's great.
Texans plus 3.5 here, over under also at 48.5.
Cleveland coming off that bye. I think Cleveland's
Nick Chubb's back.
Yeah, it's over now. I think Nick Chubb's great running back. Odell's out, right? Odell's out. It just means more Jarvis Landry, really. I like Jarvis Landry. I think he's great.
Rashard Higgins.
T Higgins is on
Clemson. He was on Clemson.
Cincinnati. Yeah. Talk about random teams.
I think the Texans have been playing good football ever since they let go of Bill O'Brien, mm-hmm. but yeah, I think that comes to an end here. I think Cleveland, they're not for real. They're not actually one of the best teams in the league like their record might show, but they're not a bad football team, and I think that's what you see the Texans beat up on, and I think they've definitely got a challenge here. I think Myles Garrett gets to Deshaun Watson quite a few times today.
Three.
And Cleveland being at home in the middle of the season, I think they got a lot to play for. So they know that they have to get up for this opponent, even though they're 2-6. So I think you're right. I think Cleveland takes this one tonight.
Mm. All right.
Not this weekend, excuse me.
You got anything for us, T, on that one?
I agree. I think with Houston, I mean, obviously.
Well, that scares me. I'm flipping my pick. I'm taking the Texans.
You're gonna flip because we all are actually picking the right one?
Yeah, because
but
that always
you
means
needed
that it's
to get
gonna
rid
go
of
the
Bill
other
O'Brien because of the dumb mistakes he made.
Yeah.
You should have got rid of Bill when he sold DeAndre. Like that.
Yeah,
that was
one of the dumbest moves.
You literally gave your franchise away. Yep. Like right there.
Well, you gave. I think the problem when he gave away him, you gave away one of your biggest deep threats.
You mean you gave away the only threat?
Well, hey, Will Fuller's pretty solid deep threat. But
yeah,
but when he wants to play.
The problem is the other two receivers on the Texans are the same exact receiver as Will Fuller, where they're just these small,
fast sprint
down the field. And when you have guys that just sprint down the field and a bad offensive line, that's not a good combo.
No. Can't play with a wide receiver that ain't over 6 foot.
It's tough.
Especially
really
on the outside. You mean, I could throw Wes Welker or someone in a slot, but you got to have a guy 6 foot over to go up and get the ball.
It's so much fun being a wide receiver and only being like 5'5".
No, ask Tyreek Hill how good it is.
Although you get beat up a lot and you hurt.
Like having
cool.
Will Fuller on the same team as DeAndre Hopkins, but we're kind of seeing that in Arizona with DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk.
I mean, if you think about it would have been Will Fuller, DeAndre, and Brandon Cooks. Like, that's a heck of a lineup, dude.
So since I just brought up the Cardinals, let's move into Buffalo Bills, Arizona Cardinals.
Game of the week.
Bills surprised the heck out of me last week, putting their foot down and saying, no, we belong here. We belong in this conversation.
I think they surprised you because the 2 weeks before that, you know, Josh Allen kind of had
even
a little
the three
crappy weeks.
Weeks.
Yeah, he didn't have that good of a week. And then he comes, he throws four touchdowns and 400 yards against, Seattle's defense, we all know. But, like,
it's
still.
Jamal Adams
that.
Played that game.
Well,
so
I don't think Jamal
sure.
Adams is even that good.
That's crazy.
He you haven't even heard about him. Yeah, he doesn't have one pick.
Yeah.
He's got, what, three,
he's
four tackles?
Hurt. He's been hurt. But yeah. I think talent-wise, he's probably the most talented
corner.
Defensive back.
He's a corner right now.
Yeah, but for Josh Allen to go toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson and outperform him, I mean, that's... Yeah.
That's a feather in his cap.
That was in Buffalo.
Buffalo?
It was in Buffalo. That was in Buffalo. This one's going to be in Arizona. The Bills the Cardinals are favored 2.5 points.
Wow,
over
really?
Under 56.5. It's at Arizona. I like the Cardinals in this spot. I'm going to keep betting against the Bills. Emotional hedge and hope they just keep proving me wrong and making me happy.
Nice.
I'll gladly lose money if it means my team wins.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's an odd.
That's an odd way to look at it, but okay.
I'm going
to
go with Buffalo on this one.
I love losing money as long as my team's winning.
I just think this Arizona passing attack is going to be too much for the Buffalo Bills defense. They look better against Seattle than they have kind of all year.
Yeah, they're doing stuff with DeAndre that Houston was supposed to be doing. So,
and Larry Fitzgerald still has it. Christian Kirk has proved that he's kind of a weapon. Absolutely.
Who's been in the league longer, him or Frank Gore? Is it Frank?
Wow. I think it's Frank.
Frank's near what, 20 years? 18 years?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, Frank Gore.
Frank Gore came in about the same time Tom did, didn't he? Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think
Tom's
so.
In his, what, 21 first year?
Yeah.
That's
I want to say Frank Gore was like circa 2001, 2002, and then it was 04 for Larry Fitz. So I think Gore's been around longer.
Wow. Yeah, Gore's an ageless wonder.
I also, this also scares me, but I love the over in this game, 56.5, I think.
Wow.
Both teams score a lot of points.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it turns out like a Seattle game where I ain't worried about it over and under 50 or 40 or 60, I mean, it's going to go 35, 40 points. It's going to hit 70.
Okay, let's move into the NFC least. Philadelphia Eagles, your division leaders, taking on the New York Giants. Philly favored 3.5 points, over under set at 44.5.
I call this the turd barrel game.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got two teams that are really in the crap barrel. I want to be nice because of the FCC and stuff, you know. So, the crap barrel, and then the entire, you know, NFC East belongs in this barrel, you know, along with just a few others. But it's
– So, who wins in this battle of doldrums?
I'm going to take the Giants.
Are you outright?
Outright.
Outright. Okay. Outright. I mean, you can't.
I like
it
Daniel Jones, and he's got Slayton there. Was it Wayne Gallman? Wayne Gallman running.
Wayne Gallman.
Devonta Freeman's kind of right, there if he's healthy. Devonta Freeman.
Yeah. No. He's been.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Carson Wentz is such a strange quarterback to me because, like, 80% of the time, it looks like he's never stepped on a football field before. And then 20% of the time, he looks like the second coming of Jesus Christ.
I love watching him scramble. Like, look, he's like frantic.
He has
like
no
frantic
pocket presence at all. No. He
forgets people are coming to tackle him. like, hey, there's five of those guys coming, bro.
It's like he realizes that he's under pressure when he's getting tackled.
This isn't practice with your little red shirt on.
Opposite of like Eli and Peyton Manning at the end of the career.
Right.
Yeah. Eli and Peyton would just like fall over if they saw like a.
No, yeah. Yeah. Peyton, he'd just sit down. He's like, hey, you're not tackling me, buddy.
No. You ain't touching me now.
I got post-career. Yeah. Post-career things.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta do American insurance. Come on.
Well, I think maybe one of the things that surprised me about Wentz is maybe he's been so injury prone. Maybe he's so afraid to get hit now.
It's the exact opposite.
And he still gets hit, and he's like, "Oh, what do I do?" Rather than living to play the next play, he gets hit.
Yeah. Let's move into a team that got absolutely destroyed last week. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to Carolina. Tampa Bay is favored 5.5 points. Boy, over under at 50.
They've been killing him on the memes about the goat. Who's the real goat? Like, yeah. Come on.
Everybody has a bad day.
No. Yep.
And that guy had one bad game in a 20-year career. I mean, he's never lost like that. You know what I'm saying? He's never lost by 30 points, 20 points, probably barely lost by 15.
The only time that Tom Brady had ever been shut out before was, I think, the 2006 Dolphins shut him out the year Saban was there. And Brady threw, I think, three picks as well.
Right. And okay, so he's had two horrible games in 20 years. I think everybody can get off his back. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, Drew Lock has a bad game. What is it, every week now? And, you know, you just got to you gotta easily and people throwing that term out to goat. Like, hang on.
Well, but do realize the Brady haters out there love that game. They thought it was the greatest game ever.
They did, yeah.
You know, I think there's something to be said about champions and winners in sports that we watch. And one thing that sets champions and the true winners apart is when you have a bad game, you don't let that define you. You come back and you almost come back stronger. So I'm looking for Tom Brady and Tampa Bay to win. Even though I like Teddy Bridgewater and Mike Davis down there in Carolina, I think Tom Brady shows us why.
You know, Carolina's dangerous. They're dangerous to play.
They're a dangerous team.
They nearly beat the Chiefs.
Yep. I see. My thing is, I love, whether it be Tom Brady or Bill Belichick in these bounce back spots, I think they will 90% of the time bounce back.
Yeah.
So I think Tom Brady bounces back big here. I think they win this one kind of running away. Next up, we are going to get into some more exciting NFL team games, like maybe the Washington football team against the Detroit Lions. That one should be a really fun one. You are listening to The Press Box on GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it, too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence,
really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. You are listening to The Press Box on GoMileHigh.com. I am Jacob. We got T. Weber. We got Squirrel. We got Ryan and Josh Dover on the board. We are breaking down some NFL Week 10 betting lines. Let's hop right back into it. The Chargers taking on the Miami Dolphins. Miami favored 1.5 points, over under
as
48
as
and a half.
As I think they should be.
I love the Indianapolis Colts in this game.
I knew someone was going to do it. That's awesome.
So the Raiders are going to win this thing.
I got the Minnesota Timberwolves coming out ahead by 5 points.
Michael Jordan's actually been really good.
Okay, but
all right, anyway.
For real, though, I think this is going to be a very good football game. We've got two rookie quarterbacks taking on each other. It's going to be – I think we're going to see a lot of points here. I think we're going to see – there's the possibility to see some sloppy football, which can make for some fun football as well.
Yeah.
How do you guys see this thing playing out?
15 to 12.
Really?
It's going to be tiny, dude. Tiny, tiny. It's
really?
I got the Chargers in this one. I know maybe it's a hot take. Maybe it's not. But
the Chargers game. I thought we were talking about Washington game. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. We're talking
Washington. My bad.
Chargers, Dolphins.
My bad. Go ahead.
I see a lot of points put up on the board here. I'm taking over 48.5. I think we could see one of the teams be in the 30s and the other in the high 20s.
I agree. Wilkins and Van Noy are on the COVID list.
Just let you
know. Interesting.
Christian Wilkins and Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah. I could see the first half being a little bit tight, and then in the second half, both of these offenses opening up and seeing what they got. So I think you're right with that over 48.5.
But are we going to see the same thing with the Chargers where that snake comes back to bite them
in the end? Know what? And maybe, but, you know, Justin Herbert is so young. We can't put that monkey on his back just yet. It's only been a couple games. We can't just assume that he's going to get a lead and the team is going to lose it at his helm. We just can't assume that yet. It's only been a couple games. He's proven to be a great young quarterback.
It's hard.
He's having one of the best rookie seasons the quarterback's ever had in the history.
If you look at those numbers, I want to say this to all football lovers. It's hard as a rookie to even come in and throw a football, let alone get down 20 points and try to get your team back to that. So, I mean, I do commend Drew Lock for doing it the other day, you know, and I commend any rookie that can do it because it's hard. It's hard to do it. Think about it. How many times do you think Tom Brady can come back from 28 down? Yeah, we all think we sit here right now. Oh, yeah, he's got it.
Yeah, it's not Madden, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen like that. This isn't the world we live in. So I think Tua is going to get the better of the two this weekend. I like Justin Herbert more than Tua, but I think the Dolphins are playing
as a whole
good football right now.
Sure.
The defense is.
Well, you're handist.
Huh?
You're handist. You don't like people that use their left hand.
No, you are absolutely right. I'm very against left-handed quarterbacks. Like I said the other day, I don't know if you guys could name me the longest tenured lefty since what, 95?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mark Brunell.
Vic.
And Mark.
Gotta be Vic. Yeah.
Chirp.
But yeah.
My point exactly. See how big the list is?
Well, I guess my question is why. Why do you not? Is
the blind side? It's blind one side. Simple reason, bro. The blind side.
The offensive linemen are built to
block for a right-handed quarterback, and it's just how it's been. And look, with his hip the way it is, bro, it's going to take one linebacker to come around that side and just say goodnight to Tua. And it goes for any quarterbacks.
I agree.
And especially with the lefties, they can't see the blind side coming, and that's the problem. Right-handed quarterbacks got it. They get it. They get it out because they know it's coming. Tua's not going to be able to see it.
Is that what caught, you know, Tim Tebow his career? Because he was left-handed as well?
No. I'll tell you what caught Tim Tebow his career.
He didn't know how to throw a football.
He was a tight end to try to go play NFL quarterback. That's the problem.
And don't get me wrong. I love Tim Tebow.
Greatest college quarterback of all time, bro. Greatest college quarterback. Greatest college winner of all time.
More than Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Joe Burrow just had the best.
Joe Burrow could barely get out of the pocket, man.
The best season of any quarterback's ever had.
Tim Tebow runs people over.
Yeah, but so did Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow throws it over their heads.
Yeah, Joe Burrow just throws it over the heads.
To the receivers.
Tim will run through you for it.
Now Tim is going to comment, and while we watch That's Joe fine. Burrow, so will Tim Tebow.
Yeah, Tim Tebow's loving his life on ESPN right now.
Your argument for a lefty quarterback is the same type of argument for if a team has had a kind of in the pocket quarterback their entire career, this offensive line is used to a non-mobile quarterback, and then a mobile quarterback comes in, maybe a backup, maybe the starter gets hurt,
whole different
holding penalties go up because they don't know which way the quarterback
crap, my quarterback's running, I gotta help him out.
They don't have eyes in the back of their head. Let's move into Washington football team against the Detroit Lions. I think the Detroit Lions run away with this one. I think it's not going to be close. I think the Lions put up high 20s, 30s, and I think the football team gets into the tens.
Matt Stafford has flown under the radar his entire career. And this guy's got over 50,000 yards. I mean, touchdowns galore. It just seems like he can't get the wins. And that's why everybody he had Marvin Jones. He had Golden Tate back in the day. He's got DeAndre Swift now. Megatron. Yeah, good Lord. Come on. You know, I would have died to have Megatron in Indianapolis, dude.
And he's never had a defense.
Nope.
And they brought in a defensive-minded coach and Matt Patricia. And I
think that comes to a point where you're always drafting top five because that's where you are. And most times you're looking for a spark on offense or some big play. You're not sitting there, oh, he's the best linebacker in the draft. Why don't we just go get him, fix the defense? Well, we're not worried about defense. We can't score. And then that's how it all just works. And
this is a team where you think if they would have tried to do like kind of the Philadelphia 76ers style of trading a bunch of their early round picks early in their career, once they kind of got this Stafford mold in there and trading back and getting a bunch of picks, not just high picks, and really beefing up that defense.
That's a problem when you trade up, and you get a bunch of third and fourth round picks. There's nobody there left, you know?
Well, you know,
first and second round, like,
I will just say real quick, Squirrel, you know, some of the best players in the NFL are third and fourth round, and that's really when you know you have a really great GM.
Especially if you look at the defense.
Yeah. Especially,
it's just hard to find those guys, though.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You know, but if you can find them, you're probably going to be known as one of the greatest GMs ever.
I mean, and
you
know,
can find that diamond in the rough, you're there.
Just real quick, one thing that Rick Spielman, who I think is one of the better top half GMs in the league, I think for sure, one thing he's done over the last like 10 or so years, he's been able to find a really quality edge rusher in like the fourth round. Everson Griffin, he was a fourth or fifth round pick, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there are those guys that can change your franchise around. And I think when you gather those picks, like, don't take those little mid-round picks and late-round picks for granted, because you can find some guys. But I just don't think the Motor City Kitties have ever had a good GM.
Biggest to your point, Tom Brady was drafted 299th.
Right. 100%, yeah.
I mean, I'm saying he's the greatest quarterback to do the thing.
I think
it
was 199. But
was it 199?
199.
Was it 199?
I thought it was 2. I thought he was in the 2s.
It was like right before whatever that next 100 was.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
So 199, yeah. Either way, for five quarterbacks drafted ahead of him,
unbelievable.
None of them made it anywhere. Yeah,
he looked like a schmuck.
He did, dude. Like, if you looked at his stats and the way he was coming
into
Michigan,
so there's your problem.
That's why he was drafted like the last quarterback. It was like he was underweight or he was overweight. His arm wasn't strong. He wasn't mobile.
But you're 6'4".
He was a backup. He was a backup as a junior to Henson. No, Henson. I thought it was Henson.
Yeah, Chad Henney. Drew Henson.
Drew Henson. Yeah, and then. It's just crazy to see that the man came out and did what he did.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to anybody else have anything else on that game?
I agree with you. I think Washington's going to run away with it. I mean,
TJ Hockenson gets a touchdown or two.
Yep. Jacksonville, Green Bay, the biggest line of the week to my eyes. The Packers are favored 13.5, over under 15.
Wow, that's a big spread for NFL.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers could get 50 points by themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take this. Might be a cold take. I don't know. I think this is a trap game for Green Bay. I think
it could be.
I think a lot of times, I think Aaron Rodgers, hey, utmost respect for him, but I think they can get complacent out in Green Bay sometimes.
Yes, they do.
And hey, Jacksonville's a bad team, but that's exactly why they call it a trap game.
Yes, they do. And to your point, Ryan, very much. Aaron Rodgers seems to play to the level that he's playing against sometimes.
Kinda like the Steelers.
Yes.
Sometimes, it's like, hang on, man. You can't throw four TDs this week against a crap defense, and then you play that same crap defense next week, and it's like, oh, well, they're not good. We're just going to do whatever, you know. It seems like when Green Bay plays somebody that's not as good as them, their level, they seem to dumb down their game plan to fit how terrible the other team is.
And the bad thing is they've done that.
They played it
many
opponents.
Times.
Many times.
And it
comes back to bite them.
It does.
You know, and you're going to have, and then that's when you have Aaron Rodgers throwing a football all around for 500 yards because he has to catch up again.
Yep. Let's move on to two more teams that seem to play down and up to their opponents. The Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers at Pittsburgh.
Dangerous.
Throw out the record books for this one.
Dangerous game for Pittsburgh. I'll tell you that right now.
Pittsburgh favored -6.5 after a very disappointing win against the Cowboys.
Is that with or without Ben?
I'm assuming this is without Ben.
Josh, is Ben playing or is he not playing? I've heard that he was not going to be playing.
He only got put on the COVID list because he was a close contact, at least what I
understood.
We're all supposed to be back Saturday.
He's got to pass five tests, right?
So we'll know Saturday if they can be
I thought it was five straight. Okay, he had to pass five straight tests.
Three straight tests.
Because he never got tested positive. He was too close just an contact affiliate. Somebody. Okay. That
and there's like levels of, there's like a close contact.
Yeah, you know, yeah. The next level, it's whatever. Ridiculous. Yeah.
The Steelers are prepping as if he will play.
Okay. Which is the smart call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, I'm assuming that's
what you have to do as an NFL. You can't give the other team any kind of inclination. Hey, our Big Ben's not playing, so
right, yeah, keep the
so they can sit there all week and say, oh, hey, we're going to play in the Big Ben's.
But look, last year how much they struggled when they lost Ben for the year. Mm-hmm.
I think Bill Belichick's the best at doing that, not giving you nothing. Yeah, we're just going to play against the team that's this weekend, and that's going to be it.
Yeah, he's good at it. He knows what he's doing.
When we come back, we are going to be talking the greatest traditions in all of sports. The Masters is this week. So look forward to that. You're listening to the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torching yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama. His laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
If there's ever a course that I was going to compete on, it would be this one. Again, you don't have to be perfect. There's a little bit more forgiveness off the tee and a little bit more demand around the greens. And I think that a lot of times the past knowledge and knowing where to hit it and knowing the shot that you're going to be faced with can come into play. I think this week, though, is going to be, with the rain, a little bit more of an aggressive style. And I think you'll be able to get away with missing it in some wrong spots, but with the softer conditions, being able to get up and down or get away with salvaging a stroke that you might have lost before. And so, this course, I think, gives me as good a chance as any golf course, and I just need to play it aggressively and execute.
Thank you, ESPN, for that quote. And hello, friends. We are talking Masters. That was Phil Mickelson talking about kind of how this course played day one. It's kind of what we expected. We knew it was going to be pretty soft because they had rain pretty much all night into the morning. Mm-hmm. Had a little bit of a delay
happens
there.
Happens in the South, man.
Yep. That's what happens in the South in fall time.
2 o'clock.
But what do we think? Can we count Phil out?
Can we count Phil?
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson?
He doesn't want to be counted out.
I mean, I count him out.
He's sitting at one under. He's in striking distance.
You know why I don't like him? Because he's a lefty.
Well, do you,
yeah,
you
know, that you know, offensive
lefties just
line
don't make
really
any golf, you know?
But do you know how he became a left-handed golfer?
Yeah, he was born that way.
No, he was not.
No, dude. He was he couldn't use his right hand.
When his dad was teaching him to play golf, his dad made him stand in front of him and says, do everything I do. And the only way
it was backwards.
It was backwards to him. And so that's how Phil Mickelson learned to play left-handed.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be able to swing left-handed.
Yeah, I'm thinking of changing my putting left-handed because I'm so bad right-handed.
just hey, screw it.
Yeah.
Maybe you just need to work on putting.
Yes.
Instead of switching your hands.
Yes. Maybe your short game needs work.
So Paul Casey leading this tournament right now at 7-under. We got a three-person lead at 5-under. Mm-hmm. It's really tight. I'm sure the people at in Augusta didn't want to see somebody day one be at 7-under, but it is what it is.
No. They like keeping that around 3.
Yep. And lower. That's where they'd like to see the winner after day 4 at 7-under at the very most.
Tell you what, ain't no one going to win by minus 12 anymore, though.
No.
Like Tiger did.
Nope. So what are we thinking? How are we liking it set up for everybody?
You know, I like Tiger, dude. He's not doing bad. He's minus 4. He's sitting at, what, tied for 5th?
No bogeys today. That's a good way to start.
He won last year, you know, coming back from that whatever 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year stint or whatever. He's doing all kinds of stuff, ramming cars or whatever the heck he was doing. Oh, I know what he's doing. I can't talk about FCC, you know. But the thing with Tiger is when he gets that look and he gets going, it's so hard to not to beat him.
Yeah.
You know, and if he gets to Sunday, good Lord, look out.
Yeah, if he gets anywhere near Sunday and he's two or three strokes off, watch
if
out.
If he's sitting where he is now on Sunday, it's over, dude. Yeah. Tiger's coming.
I really think Tiger has done a lot to repair what people, the perception of him.
Yeah.
The point where now,
that's what I was going to get to.
Yeah, and to now where it's like if Tiger ever gains any steam in any tournament he goes into, so many fans start following and so many fans start cheering.
Doesn't matter what he did, bro.
You know, it doesn't matter because people just love to see Tiger Woods and that fist pump. Mm-hmm. They love to see the red on Sundays. So I think with him, I think he's setting up for a really good weekend. But to your point at the top of this segment here, definitely don't count out Phil.
I think
Phil is an incredible golfer. And for him to be under, he's 6 back from the lead, but it's only Thursday, you guys. We got a lot of golf left to play.
Well, you
got to
think Paul Casey's not going to do it, not going 7-under again tomorrow.
No.
Absolutely not.
This whole course, I mean, I don't know. You guys probably know. I know you do, but golf courses change every single day.
Yep.
Hole selections, bunkers, they do all kinds of stuff all through the night to make sure that the golf course tomorrow is not
what
you played
on.
The
other thing is you can have 1 or 2, 3 bad holes and it messes with you.
Especially with that rain right now, dude. Yep, you could get sloppy.
Well,
like we just seen, I just watched Bryson DeChambeau hit the ball with 30, 40 yards off the fairway, and that's because you're getting greedy. Yes. You can't get greedy out there. You got to play the course.
Luckily, I was checking the weather on my way down here in Augusta, and it looks to be like we're not going to see a whole lot of rain the rest of the weekend. Right. It's about a 20% chance today and about 10% tomorrow and nothing on Friday.
It's hard greens, greens. Everything's going to be bouncing.
And they've got that HVAC system underneath all the grass, too, so I think we're going to see a nice dry course.
Do you know
what
HVAC is?
Listen, I work on HVAC for a living, so if they ever need
what does
help?
HVAC have to do with a golf course? Like, how do you get the AC?
How do you get
AC under the golf course?
It pulls out all the water.
I know what it does.
The Rockies.
You're making me doubt myself. I'm like, did I say the right?
Listen, I used to work in dewatering in Florida. I know what water does to everything.
Dewatering.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
No, it absolutely is. You know, dewatering is a process to where in Florida, I don't know if you guys understand, but everything is underwater in Florida. Housing.
You guys need bigger levees.
Everything. Yeah.
We just don't live in Florida.
We need to put one around Miami. You know what I'm saying? But the thing with dewatering is we drain the water off the ground so you could build a foundation is all it is. So
that's beautiful.
No, it is. It's absolutely beautiful.
I would like to brag about some of the picks that I had.
Humble brag?
Yep. I got a ticket out on Schauffele. I got a ticket out on Morikawa. He's sitting at even. Schauffele's tied for 2nd. Shambo.
Well, Matsuyama.
I don't have anything on Matsuyama. Kisner and Tiger. Kisner is not going to win this thing, but I just love Kevin Kisner.
You see, you got nothing on DeChambeau.
I do.
Oh, okay.
Does anybody think Adam Scott, the Australian, has any shot?
Where is he? I don't even know that dude.
Is this thing working? Hey,
he's at four under. I think I've been Josh a big Adam Scott off. Guy for a long time. Clearly no one else is.
No, clearly not.
I don't know. I just don't see it from him.
Okay. Yeah, he hasn't even heard of Adam Scott.
All right. Are we still talking about the Chargers game?
apparently you are.
Chargers were the upset this week, guys.
Okay, so the Masters, called the greatest tradition on all of sports. Yeah. What is beautiful. Some of your guys' favorite traditions in sports?
Has anybody been to the Masters?
No, I wish. Have you?
Am I the Lone Ranger here?
Yeah. I want to go. It's on the bucket list.
You've been to the Masters?
My girlfriend is from North Augusta.
My dad lives in Macon, Georgia. Like, I mean, 40 minutes, not even to from Augusta, dude. Yeah. Come on.
Okay. Like during the tournament?
Greatest tradition? What is it?
During the tournament?
Yes, dude.
Dang.
First round.
Wow.
First round. No. Thursday because
are you
going to
take me next year?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are daggum expensive, but I'll tell you what, it's like $900. Like, they're selling tickets like football games, dude. Like,
oh, yeah.
You get and the bad thing is once you buy the ticket, you got to stay at the hole that you bought the ticket for.
Not unless you buy a chair.
Well, that's $1,000. I ain't buying no chair, bro.
Oh, but it's so worth it.
Oh, you mean
dude.
A chair to take with you, like a portable chair. Like,
those are like $30 at your local Target. There's one down the road.
The Masters chairs. Have you guys heard about this? So the white chairs that you see when they actually have mm-hmm. fans, you can buy one of those, and you can set it up wherever you want throughout the day, and you can leave it there, and nobody will sit in
I would
it. Nobody
sit in
the
Amen's
it.
Corner all day, bro. That's all I would be right there on that on the green that's 4.5
saying
feet wide. Yeah, dude. No, for real. Like, I'd be saying prayers every time I hit that ball, though. I mean, green's 4.5 feet wide this way, about 9 feet wide this way, and it's on a slope going down to. No, it's impossible, dude. You
right literally, there on 11?
Yeah, it's atrocious. And then, that's at the Players. I'm talking about the famous 17. That's at the Players in Jacksonville.
The Players Club?
In Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Oh.
The Players Championship. The fifth major.
So, outside of the Masters, favorite traditions? In sports.
I'll take this one real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm a huge fan of the Gatorade bath. I think that is one thing. That's one thing, like, as a child, I always thought about that moment where, like, think about leading a team to victory or being the quarterback to lead your team to victory and then getting a Gatorade bath. Like, even if it's frigid cold out.
Is it funny, though, the coach normally gets that?
Yeah. Right.
Because he's the only one standing there.
What did he do all game, huh?
And so I've been a coach for a couple different sports throughout my life, and that moment is something that I've thought about. I thought about just how cool it will never happen in my life. I will never be great enough at anything to get a Gatorade bath, but it's fun to think about.
We're going to work that up for you, bro.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay,
I'll go next. Go I guess I kind of have two. Mine, obviously, is kind of the same genre, but one is the Stanley Cup being passed around. I think that's so cool to see that, as old as that trophy is, and being spun around and everybody get a skate with it. But I think probably my all-time favorite is when you're an American athlete and you're at the Olympics and you're standing on the gold medal podium the silver medal podium.
You just gave me chills.
And you hear your national anthem being played.
Absolutely.
I have two friends that actually won silver and gold in Olympics back-to-back in the same year.
I went to high school in Lockport.
To watch that and to be sitting at home watching that, brought me to tears to see that. Wow. As hard
I got
as
the
these
chills,
guys worked,
dude.
It's cool.
That's kind of the same thing when I got to meet Ryan Lochte. Went to the same high school that I did. Spruce Creek.
That's pretty sweet.
And that was the time where he was battling Phelps for the whole deal. Two great Americans just getting at it. You know,
he's kind of a psycho.
I used to watch that guy
like
swim.
A fun psycho.
I used to watch that guy swim like a dolphin, bro. Just
was he a
back
bag?
And forth. Huh?
Was he a bag?
Ryan Lochte's not. Michael Phelps is.
Really?
Yeah, no. Ryan Lochte's a nice guy. He's a weed smoker, man. He's a pothead.
Well, so is
nothing wrong with that.
But Phelps. No, but Phelps is atrociously rude. Dang. You know, he's like that a Michael sucks. Jordan. He's atrociously rude. But Ryan Lochte's a nice fellow.
Michael Jordan will punch you if you don't play well on your team.
Yeah, no, that's for real. Yeah.
Okay,
he takes your meals away.
So what about you?
Anybody hear about that? He took what was Isaiah Thomas's, and he's like, don't feed that guy because he did bad today.
Horace Grant.
Like,
Clemson. Horace Grant. Clemson. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm rocking Clemson right now. I got to call him out when I hear him.
Joe, South Carolina Gamecock. What do you? Who cares?
I'm not a Gamecock.
Okay. All right.
I'm a Golden Gopher, baby.
I mean, mine's the bronze boot.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
Just Bronze love it. Boot.
Yeah, and you guys just reclaimed it this year, correct?
No, they lost it.
We lost it. That was so rude.
That's right.
Oh,
I am ending this show now.
No,
I am. This show is over. You know what? I'm never coming back.
I just want to say my favorite tradition is passing around the World Cup trophy whenever you win.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
They take it back to their city, and they let fans and people touch it. So that's pretty cool.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Press Box. I've been Jacob. They've been Squirrel, T. Weber, Ryan, Josh Dover on the board. We will catch you next week.
Thank you, Mr. Rock.
Thank you.
Yo-yo.